Ephesians chapter 5. Keep your Bibles open because we have to do a little bit of scripture reference today on the subject, and we will actually come back to Ephesians 5 on a couple of those occasions. Unlike our Bible study that we had during the prior hour, it won't be that much turning of the pages to the various passages, but there is a theme here, and it's an amazing thing how prevalent that theme is throughout the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 8. But ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now we studied this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we are children of the light and children of the day. And we saw a lot of things concerning that in the Scripture. But you know, there's a command here that we are to walk as children of light. And there's a reason for that. And we want to discover in the Scripture what that reason is and what we'd hope to accomplish by fulfilling that command right there. But first of all, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill Brother Tony with your Holy Spirit and those that are working with the toddlers in the toddler church and in the nursery as well. God, we pray that you'll be honored and glorified in everything that is done here today. And we pray that your word will be magnified and that your Son will be honored. These dear saints will be edified. Father, we do also pray for the lost that they would be justified in Jesus Christ and saved through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, this is sacred business here, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you accomplish everything that you want done here and really nothing that a man wants to do, and we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as we saw this morning in our Sunday school hour, the world is in darkness. If you don't know that, all you have to do is just go and study some of the photographs that have come back from the space shuttle and when it's gone out into outer space, or any of the other pictures that you can see with a Hubble telescope or whatever. Everything is always, if it's a picture of a star or the moon or whatever, always on a dark background. And the reason is that the entire universe is in darkness. Our world is engulfed in darkness, and the only time that we ever get light is if we produce it artificially or when the sun comes around or the moon comes around and casts some light on this darkness. The world is dark, but you and I are children of light. We are children of the day. And therefore, we are to shine the light that's in us so that there is something in this dark world that will point to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a light in you, and that's what he says. Or he says, walk as children of light. Do you know something? Christians don't always do that. In other words, I know there was a time in my life when I had received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, but other people who knew me really couldn't tell because there was no light coming forth. That you can tell a little better today, okay? And some of you have gone through the same thing where there was a time in your life and people just look at you and they say, that's a Christian. There's a light coming forth, and they might not have called it a light, didn't know what it was. There was something about you that was different than the rest of the world. Other times, totally masked, couldn't tell it at all. Like the light was under a bushel or something like that. Well, listen, he said we are to walk as children of light, and when your light shines, it's going to do some things. When your light shines, first of all, you will glorify God. Keep this passage, but let's go on over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You walk, when that light in you is shining, you will glorify God. The light in you will glorify God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 14, ye are the light of the world. You see, when Jesus Christ was here, he was the light of the world. But where is he right now? Physically, his body is at the right hand of God Almighty. So now you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, well, the purpose of allowing them to see the light in you and the good works that are in you is not so they can say, whoa, he's such a good person, but to glorify God. Honestly, the good works you do are not to be seen of men. but the glory of God is. Okay? Listen, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he was the light of the world, and his light always glorified God. He never brought attention to himself. That wasn't his purpose. So much could you see the light of God in him that he said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That'd be something if we could say that. Now, we can't, obviously, because we're not God manifest in the flesh, but is not God within us? And God's light, should it not shine forth so that people who see that light would glorify God? Jesus Christ prayed to his Father in John chapter 17 before the crucifixion, and he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. And that was his purpose. He knew that he was to bring glory to God because he wouldn't always be here. And Israel had strayed from God. They'd always had trouble with going into idolatry and things like that. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Boy, wouldn't that be something? To know that when you had finished your work here on the earth, the things you had done were really to the glory of God. Everything that Jesus Christ did was for the express purpose of bringing glory to his Father. Now, he's gone. And you and I are the light of the world. And the light that was shining in Jesus Christ is the same light that is shining in you if you are saved. And it's not to be hid under a bushel, and it's not to be where people can't see it for the glory of God. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he said, even in the simplest things you do in life, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Man, that's something. Sleep to the glory of God. Eat to the glory of God. Drink to the glory of God. But then also other things like telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God. You see, there should be in you and there should be in me a heavenly light that causes people to realize there's something different about you. Something interesting about you when I see you. When you are here in the earth, all right, there is one light that is so prevalent it captures the attention of any person who can see, and even people who are not sighted know when this particular light is shining. You know which light it is? Sunlight. Because if you couldn't see it, you can feel it. That thing, that sun is so captivating, people rise early in the morning just to see it rise. Wait for its evening sky so they can see it set. And appreciate all the light that is there. There's no question when the sun is shining. Even when it's cloudy, there's no question when the sun is shining because the clouds are bright as opposed to dark as they are in the nighttime when it's not. Now, there's one other light in the heaven that lets you know the sun is still shining when you can't see it. Which one is that? The moon. The moon. That moon not only reflects the light of the sun, but it lets you know where the sun is relative to the moon every time you see the moon. Right now, we're in a new moon phase. In other words, we've just gone into the new moon. And yesterday, when Ann and I were out walking, the moon was about there and the sun had just set, and you could see just a glimmer. I knew where the sun was by looking at the moon. Relative to the moon, you could see that it was underneath it and just showing a little bit of a sliver. You know what? That's not casting very much light. But as we go through that and head toward the full moon, that moon is going to reflect the light of the sun brighter and more until it'll be fully seen across the full face of the moon. And when that moon is shining and reflecting the full light of the sun on a cloudless night, you can see to work. I remember that last camping trip that we had. What was that, a couple years ago when we did the doe hunt? That moon was so bright, you'd get outside at about 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes you have to do that on a camping trip. and you're casting, a really dark shadow. It's so bright. Listen, we should be like the moon when it's full, reflecting in the full face the radiance of the glory of God, and casting a bright light, reflecting the light of the sun, not just a sliver, but the full radiance of it to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Think about that. When you leave here and you go to the restaurant and you're eating. And I remember still distinctly one time we were eating at a restaurant not far from here. I guess it was L&S. I'm not sure. And some guy had come from church. But he was giving that waitress downtown Charlie Brown. I mean, he was aggravated about something and wanted something now and very demanding and very rude and all that. She went back, and I think she told you, she said, "I'm all upset about that. What should I do?" She said, "Well, you need to go over there and tell him." That's a hard thing for a waitress to do. She said, "Sir, did you go to church today?" And he said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I think you need to go back." You didn't get enough on the first go-round. You ought to be different. You show up in a suit, and the waitress would say, Sundays are some of the hardest days. The people are so demanding. When you go, be different and glorify God. All right, here's another thing. When your light shines, it'll glorify God. I'll tell you something else it'll do. It'll protect you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. It will protect you. Ephesians chapter 5, we began with verse 8. Let's read it again. And then we're going to go back to John and look at another passage. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." So, Christians, we need to be protected from doing those things that are unacceptable to the Lord. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and look at verse 9. Now, John chapter 11 is about the resurrection of Lazarus. And before Jesus goes and raises Lazarus from the dead, he has this conversation with his disciples, beginning in verse 9. Jesus said this to them, John 11, 9. "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him." Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night when it was dark in your house and there wasn't a nightlight shining and you stumbled into a piece of furniture? Yeah. The reason you did is that there wasn't enough light to show you that that piece of furniture. I did that just last night, as a matter of fact. That piece of furniture was there. All right. The brighter the light that is in you, the less you're going to stumble. Because it's going to illuminate everything around you and keep you from falling into areas that you should not go and keep you walking in areas that you should. Christians get in trouble in this dark world when they stumble through the world without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be, and His Word to guide them. We have to be so careful about that. Now, what does light do? All right? We went camping the other day. Some of the guys, some of the young men that were there. All right. Nighttime comes. Put pressure in the lantern. Light the match. The mantles catch fire. Set the amount of light that you want it to do. Hang it up in a tree. And suddenly everything that was dark around you is now lit. You'd see where your tent is. You can see where the grub is. You can see where each other, you'd see all of that stuff. It lights up everything. Well, the brighter that light, the better. Have you ever noticed, since I didn't get that lamp, that air will go down and that lantern will get duller and duller like that, and then suddenly you can't see quite as well as you could before? That happens in Christian life. And what you need to do is you need to pump some more air in there, more Spirit of God, more Word of God, more work in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brighten that light up, then you can see everything around you and see far around you and light your way. So that you don't have trouble. Listen, there should never be a reason for a Christian to stumble into trouble. mean, have you ever done that where you like committed some sin after you'd been going for a little bit, and then you look back on it and say, how in the world did I fall into that deal? The thing is, you weren't shining enough light. There are other times when you've got a lot of the light of the Word of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you. You see something over there, man, I am not going for that. That's not a pet snake, that's a rattlesnake. Instead of going close, I'm going away. A farmer made fun of one of his hired hands one time. The hired hand, what he would do after work when the night was coming, he'd light a lantern and he'd walk over to the next farm because he was courting the girl that lived over there. And that farmer said, well, I'll tell you something. When I was a courting, I never carried one of them things. I just walked in the dark. He said, yeah, and look what you got. That light will protect you, okay? All righty. Something else that light will do. Not only will that light shine bright and glorify God, and not only will it protect you, but it will also attract saints. It will attract saints. Look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Walk as children of the light. When you do, you'll glorify God. You'll protect yourself, and you'll attract saints. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So the fellowship that we have and enjoy is strengthened when we're in the light. Look at chapter 2 at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, when a Christian is filled with the light of the Lord, it's evident to other like-minded Christians that he's walking in the light, and it attracts them together. It draws them together. I got saved when I was 15 years old. When I was in my 20s, I was so enamored with the business world, my light had just about gone out. I was like a match that got struck in the wind, and you know how sometimes it'll just get that little bit of flame that's left like there, and you turn it over and hope, oh, don't go out like that, trying to get that thing bigger. I mean, if I could have lost my salvation, I'd have been lost. Now, I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you, watch what happened. I was walking with a friend of mine in San Antonio, and a preacher was preaching on the street near the Alamo. I don't remember what he was saying, but I said to my friend, it was Johnny Melton that I was walking with, I said, look at that fool. And I just mocked him and laughed. Now, you know what? He was light, and I was in so much darkness. It was like that light had shined in mine eyes at about 3 o'clock in the morning. You ever had your wife come in and turn the light on when you're asleep? Or your husband come in and turn the light on when you're asleep? Or your children come in and turn on the light when you're asleep? You're just like, oh, I don't want that. I said, look at that fool over there. Well, years later, after I got out of business and went into the ministry, and we were still in Pensacola at the time going to school, Johnny had a business meeting in Mobile, and so he went to Mobile for his business meeting, and we got together for lunch. It was only an hour away. And we were early before lunch and had a little bit of time, and on Wednesdays I had been preaching on the street in Mobile to businessmen who were coming out of their business, and I told him, I said, look, we got a little bit of time before our lunch. Let me stop and hit it a lick, okay? He said, sure. So the Bible says, I preached for about 10, 15 minutes. After it was over, we're walking over there, and he started laughing. He said, do you remember years ago when we were in San Antonio together? I said, what? I mean, we were there several times. He says, there was a guy preaching on the street. You said exactly, look at that fool. Oh, I forgot all about it. You know what the deal was? The light was shining brighter. The light was shining brighter so that suddenly that guy didn't look like so much of a fool. Have you ever been around Christians at a time when you weren't living for the Lord? You didn't feel much like having fellowship with them. And when you are living for the Lord, you know what you're doing? You're looking for other Christians who are on fire for God. Our light that attracts other like-minded saints is like a campfire. You've been on a camping trip? That campfire's going. You know what'll happen when everything settles down? Everybody's going to be right around that campfire, enjoying a great time of fellowship and a very warm light. When your light is shining right, you get in the presence of other Christians, that fellowship is sweet, just like that. John Wesley said, "I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field." He had a good light burning. He had a good light burning. You get up on a Sunday morning and say, "I don't feel like going to church today." It's not the people at church. Your light's flickering. "Oh, I know I ought to go to church on Wednesday, but oh, I've had a hard day." Your light is flickering. It's not the people. It's your light. And when it's burning right, it attracts saints and attracts you to saints. Let's look at something else. Ephesians chapter 5 again. Ephesians chapter 5. When your light shines, it'll glorify God. When your light shines, it'll protect you, so that you can be good and holy and blameless on the waiting on the arrival of the Lord. It'll attract saints. And then something else it'll do, Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 11. We've already read down to verse 10. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light." So the next thing that will happen when your light is shining, it will reprove sinners. It'll reprove sinners. Listen, when a man prefers to live in darkness, the last thing he wants is somebody coming in turning the lights on. I mean, you consider what goes on. If you've never seen it for yourself, you've probably seen it in a movie. You take like an old pool hall or a bar or something like that, always real dark light. Or take a Hollywood movie in the theater like that. Everything's dark. Nobody wants somebody coming in there and flipping all the lights on like that. Do they? No. If you do that in a movie when they're all like glued in, "Hey, turn the light on! Hey, turn the light!" When you walk in and your light is shining and somebody else wants to sin, you're the last person they want to see. Because your very presence reproves them. You say, "How do you know that?" You've had this experience. People that work around you, people that know you, they know that you're a Christian. And you go into the employee lounge to get a cup of coffee, and they're in there telling an off-color story or using language that you don't use. They see you walk in the door, immediately they change their language. You ever had that happen to you? Yeah. It happens to Kim down here all the time. Just kidding. They don't like the children of light because the light illuminates the sin that's in them. And they don't want that. Listen, the Lord wants the sinner to turn. He does. And oftentimes he's going to use the light that is shining in you to reprove him. And you know, the temptation is, "Well, I like old Billy Bob. He's a good old fella. I like Mary Sue, and she's a great old gal, you know." And so you go in there and you say, "Therefore, I don't want my light to shine so bright because I don't want Billy Bob to get offended." Don't turn your light down just so you and he can have a good conversation. And you kind of like, "I'm going to turn my Christianity off right quick so he and I can get along, and then I'll turn my Christianity back on." Don't be a strobe light. Boop-a, boop-a, boop-a. He said, "There are too many hypocrites in the church." Yeah, and you're one of them. You don't want to be the the Christian you're supposed to be and let your light shine that God can use to reprove his sin, you turn it down, and you're the one he's talking about. Don't just let it shine. He may not like it, but you know what? It might also protect you. You keep turning that light down to get along with that friend out there in the world, next thing you know, your light might get so dim that you're doing what they're doing and no longer glorifying God, and you lose your protection. Now look, you say, I know, but I can't make that person stop sinning just because my light is shining. Yes, but you can be the warning. Listen, you as a light for God will have no more ability to stop that sinner from sinning than a red light will to stop the driver from driving. That red light does not stop that driver. It tells him to stop. And your light doesn't stop that sinner. It tells him to stop. But he's still got to make the choice for himself. Your light will only show him what he ought to do, but he needs somebody to show him. And do you know something? Some people turn when they see the light. Others, they don't turn until they feel the heat. But that's not your choice. That's their choice. Look at John chapter 3, something else. John chapter 3. When your light is shining, God's getting glory. Your light is shining. It'll protect you. It'll attract like-minded saints. It will reprove sinners, but they need to see it. And one more thing, John chapter 3, verse 18. When your light's shining, it will magnify Jesus Christ. John chapter 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Your light, the light that's in you, that comes from God Almighty, that comes from the Scripture, that comes from the Spirit of God, that comes from the presence of Jesus Christ in you, magnifies Jesus Christ. A lost man, if you're a man or a lost woman, if you're a woman or depending on the circumstances, they're going to see that light in you, and if they desire to be saved, Jesus Christ is going to be magnified, and they're going to understand through your testimony how to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, because the light of Jesus Christ is in you. When they desire to leave the wickedness of this world, they'll be drawn to the light that they see in you. You want to be a truly effective soul winner? Or should I say, do you want to be a truly effective witness? You don't really win them to Jesus Christ. You witness to them. You want to be the most effective witness that you can be for Jesus Christ? I do. Then get filled up with the light of His Word. Get filled up with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Get filled up with the Spirit of God. He's pictured in the Old Testament as that candlestick in the tabernacle. And then when you witness, they will not only hear the words you're saying from the Scripture, but they will see the effect of the light in your life. And that they'll say, what you have is what I want. You see, what the devil tries to do in this world is he tries to blind their minds so they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. But if you're speaking and the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is shining through you, they're going to see it. The light of the body is the eye. And it should shine. Have you ever met somebody and you didn't know whether they were a Christian or not? but you thought they probably were, and when they told you they were, you weren't surprised? You ever met anybody like that? Have you ever met anybody that wasn't saved, and something in you just said, you know what, this is not a saved person at all, and when they opened their mouth and began to speak, and the testimony came out that they weren't saved, you weren't surprised? Sure, there are people that are so lost, there's so much darkness on them, they don't have to even tell you that they're lost. You just know it. And then when they open their mouth, you're like, that's just a confirming testimony to what I already knew. And there are some people that have so much of the light of God on them, they don't have to tell you they're saved. But when they open their mouth and begin to testify, you say, it doesn't surprise me at all. So much light on that person. Be that person that has so much light shining that when you speak, people are not surprised by what you say regarding your salvation and regarding their desire to be saved. Now listen. A little over two decades ago, the Washington Monument was renovated. When they went inside that lobby, they took some marble facing off the walls and worked behind the walls and then redid the inside of that thing. They found some graffiti on the wall that was in there from the 1800s. And here's what the graffiti said. Whoever is the human instrument under God in the conversion of one soul erects a monument to his own memory more lofty and enduring than this. Wow, graffiti sure has changed. But the truth of that statement hadn't changed. That is a very, very true statement. You came here today and you've heard how Christians should be children of light to glorify God and protect themselves and attract others to them and reprove sinners and magnify Jesus Christ. But you're not a child of light. You came here today without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. You know something? You need Him. You need Him. You need the light of the world. And the way to get Him is to believe in Jesus, the light, and to become a child of His today. Look in John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12. Look at verse 35. Look at this real carefully now. John chapter 12. Look at verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Talking about Himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. That's true. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide Himself from them. You see how He said in that, believe in the light? This isn't a New Age philosophy here. The New Age is all about the light and believing and manifesting these realities that aren't there and making things happen that, you know, by positive thinking you can bring into existence. No, Jesus Christ is and has been the light of the world. And He said, if you're going to be a child of light, you're going to have to believe in that light. Look again in John chapter 1 and you'll see it more clearly. Or in addition, another witness of it. John chapter 1, look at verse 9. John is writing the gospel and he's speaking of Jesus Christ in verse 9, and he says that that was the true light, speaking of Jesus Christ. Notice the capital L. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So right now, you are under the influence of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ because you are a human being in the world that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now that's your condition if you've not received Him. Verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining through the words of God now, and he says, if you want that light, you're going to have to receive it. You're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to trust him. Listen, years ago, I went spelunking. Most of you know what that is because I've used an illustration from it before, but it's where you go caving, walking through caves. And the first time I went, I thought you paid your $5 and, you know, wow, they turn the lights on, turn the lights off, give you a story and leave. Now, this was the real deal. We didn't take strings in to find our way back out, but we had what was called a carbide light. The carbide light had carbide rocks in the bottom of it and water in the top of it and dripped down. And when the water dripped down on the carbide rocks, a gas was formed and came back up through the top of that thing and through a little orifice, and you lit that thing and it made a flame, and then there was a reflector on it, and that cast a light, put it on the front of your helmet, and you could see where you'd go. About halfway through one of our expeditions, we had to stop and recharge. So somebody kept his light on, and then the rest of us turned ours off, changed out the carbide rocks, add more water and that kind of stuff, start all over again. We relit, and then he relit, and then we could go. May I tell you something? When we all turned those lights off, at one point, since we were reloaded, Houston Patterson, the guy we were in there with, said, turn those lights off. I want you to see something. And we were in a darkness that you could feel. It was unbelievable how dark is when there's not any ray of light. And then we all lit those things and turned them back on and proceeded. May I tell you something? You're in that darkness right now if you're here without Jesus Christ. I can't make you feel it, but the Spirit of God can. My light is lit. I've received Him. Your light is lit. You've received Him. Brian, your light is lit. You received Him. And we're getting out of this cave. We're going to heaven. Yours isn't lit. And when we're gone, and you're still here without Christ, you are going to freak, to put it mildly. The Bible talks about people that wind up in hell as being cast into outer darkness, a fire that burns without light. And I'll guarantee you something. You do not want to spend eternity there. Not when you had a chance to get your light lit by Jesus Christ today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit at this point. We ask you please to do two things. First of all, Father, amongst these that are here that are children of light, we ask you please, help us to shine brighter. Through the Spirit of God, through the words of God, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Father, right now, I pray your Holy Spirit will help each saint here to see in his own heart and mind what is hindering the light of Jesus Christ in his life right now. I pray, Lord, that that'll be removed. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here today and you've not received Jesus Christ, the best light you have to follow is artificial light, and it's not inside of you. Why don't you take the real light, the light of Jesus Christ, and have it shine from within? You say, well, I would, preacher, but I don't know how. That's all right. I can show you from the Scripture how. I had the opportunity to show many. I'll wait for you, and I'll show you. And then you can make the decision whether or not you want to receive Jesus Christ. You say, when can I do that? Right after the service. Where? What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave when we get ready to finish up this invitation and stand right by my office door. When you leave here this morning, if you want to visit briefly about how to receive Jesus Christ, just come up to me. You'll see me standing there and say, preacher, show me. I want to receive Jesus. We'll go to my office. You can see from the scripture how to receive him and receive him for yourself. Is that a deal? Father, we ask you, please, during this invitation, help our folks be responsive to the words of God for Jesus' sake. Amen.